Welcome to the Empowered Love Show and community of Empowered Lovers. Empowered Lovers stay focused, take action, spread love, inspire change, practice self-love, forgive fully, and are unstoppable. Empowered Lovers wage war against negativity, painful counseling, wasting time talking, and win. An Empowered Lover creates their relationship destiny through thoughts, actions, and awakening their love energy. They are not shackled to wait for their partners to change. They act and be the change they want to see. If this speaks to you, be sure to subscribe to the show, spread the word, and join the Facebook community of Empowered Lovers by searching Empowered Lovers.
Hi everybody, this is Maria Christie, Dating Success Coach. Today I have the pleasure of connecting with Nicola Beer, who's a world-leading authority on how to save your marriage and maintain a close and fulfilling relationship. She's an international best-selling author of 4 books. She's been featured on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News Network, and Huffington Post, as well as Wall Street Select. She is the founder of the Empowered Love Online Relationship Rescue Audio Program as well. And I'm just so delighted to have her with us today. And she'll be sharing her fabulous wisdom, insights, and advice on relationships and sustaining a happy, fulfilling dream relationship, which is what we're all aspiring for. So with that said, Nicola, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure and a real honour to be invited. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for being with us, Nicola. It's lovely. So before we jump into some juicy information and advice that you have to share, can you share with our audience how you came into being, relationship expert and in this field, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is a combination of things, really, I'll just share the highlights. One of the main reasons was when I finished university, I started working for a charity called Samaritans, and yeah. Was helping people a lot there with grief and loss. And when I moved to the Middle East, I was looking for some helplines and couldn't find any helplines to work for. So then I decided that I was going to specialising in grief and loss and support people to do coaching in that area and counselling in that area. I went back to the UK and I studied this. And on my first day of the course that I went to, they asked you to chart all of the losses of your life. And I realised that the biggest loss in my life was my parents' divorce. And not because divorce is terrible for children or it's bad. I mean, there are obviously, it varies widely. But for me, my dad moved away and we had little contact. And my mum, who already was very struggling from breakdowns and mental problems, she became even more abusive. So that was a really big loss. So this was going back probably around 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And I decided then, okay, I'm going to help families through divorce. I'm going to help couples who are decided on divorce and they want to help their children or they want to help themselves. And, you know, just to regain that emotional stability and the emotional sanity. So that's really how I started. And I started working and meeting couples who were going through this. And I was shocked because there were so many couples that didn't actually want to get divorced, but were because they didn't know how to change things. What they were trying themselves was not working. And marriage counselling, I would say majority of people were telling me that marriage counselling was making things worse for them.
Wow.
And so I thought, I'm getting a sign here, I'm getting a calling here, I'm getting a message here, I need to change and I need to serve and help stop divorce, help these couples to rekindle their passion, rekindle their love, and stay connected. So it's a long sort of journey. I never set out saying, I'm going to help people save their marriage. It's strange how the universe works out.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so necessary as well. I mean, we're all aware of the divorce rates, right? They're quite alarming and frightening. So, I mean, interestingly, statistics show that 75% of people, the people marriage counselling doesn't work. Why do you believe that is? What have you found?
Sure, I'd love to share on that. Yeah, it's a really alarming statistic. 75% of people come off worse or... and it stays the same, doesn't get any better. And the reason for that is individual therapy is where you go to a counsellor, you share all of your pain, you bring up the past, you let everything out, you empty out, and yes, you feel that sigh of relief, and someone's listening to you sympathetically, and you may feel that you've cleared a little bit, and they may give you some tools individually, that things that you can do. However, and that works great, and I love individual counselling for discovering ourselves, for personal growth and change. But in, yes, a relationship, hearing your partner bring up all of their pain and all of what you're doing wrong or what's upsetting them, it just creates a huge negativity, a huge basket of resentment has just been all brought to the surface. Anger has been brought to the surface. Sadness has been brought to the surface. Confusion over feelings has been brought to the surface. And then, you know, the couple may take it in turns, and then the counsellor there just listens, and that does not help a couple. That makes things worse. They've just brought everything up, everything out, and then there's no solutions, there's no structure, there's no framework to enable them to then use this. And yes, so, really, I think that's really why. I mean, sometimes I will have couples that say to me that they've been to marriage counselling for a year and nothing's changed. They understand each other's position more, but because there's no tools for what you're going to do differently, how you're going to change things, the couple just feel often more hopeless.
Right. That's frightening. Absolutely frightening. So what led you to create the Empowered Love formula in that case? And what happened in your own relationship life?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because that also played a huge part. So I noticed when I was meeting all these couples and they were sharing what the challenges were in their relationships, that actually in my own relationship, and in my previous relationships, I was acting very much like what other people were sharing. I would be annoyed at my partner wasn't giving me enough attention, thought he wasn't giving me enough affection. So what did I do? I got moody back. I sulked. I was aggressive. I was negative. Mm-hmm. And this just creates more negativity. And I saw this same pattern. The more someone was not doing something in a relationship, the more starving the relationship was for love, for connection, for communication. Instead of changing that by giving more love, more connection, more communication, couples were mirroring each other. They were copying that. They were saying, okay, well, you're not talking to me, I'm not talking to you. You're not doing anything nice for me, I'm not doing anything nice for you. You're not bothering to organise anything on the weekends. I'm not going to bother to organise anything. And so they were just richly starving the relationship. And I thought, wow, this is why their relationships are not working. And this is exactly why I'm really struggling in my relationship and why my previous relationships have ended. Because what I was doing was putting less love in. I was putting more negativity into my relationship. I was thinking negative thoughts. And then I could see so clearly. I think it's easier to see things clearly in other people's lives than your own. And once I started realizing that, I started making a huge shift and not only change my love life and love life forever, really, once you learn the tips, I also managed to help hundreds and thousands of others through this principle.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's so necessary. It's so needed, Nicola, isn't it? Because we see this playing out in so many couples that around us. It's just far too common. So what is the fastest way, in your opinion, to attract love into your life and sustain it? Or from a partner? Because I mean, the majority of my clients are single. This is what I help them to do. But what would your advice be for single women?
Sure.
And also, if they're already in a relationship, especially early on, how to sustain that, knowing what you know.
Sure. So this is what the Empowered Love formula is all based on. And that's the key, the fastest way and the key to attracting love into your life, whether you're single or already in a relationship, is to awaken your love energy. So really, we all are love. We're born as love when we are children. We are come from love. We all have the emotion of love. And somehow along the way, as we get older, we disconnect from the love that we really are.
Yes.
And we get fears. We block our love. We have negative experiences. We pick up things from our caregivers, our friends, our past relationships, our current relationships, and we lock down the love. So if you want more love in your relationship, the only way to do it is to become and be the love that you are. So that's awakening your love energy. So that means acting like love, being loving in everything you do, being loving to yourself in every single way. If you're having an off day, if you're feeling ill, treat yourself with love. If you're not as fast as what you used to be with things, if your memory sometimes isn't what it is because you've got a lot on your mind, if you say the wrong thing, if you do the wrong thing, loving yourself completely, wholly, and unconditionally. And then loving other people around you. Not allowing their mistakes or their whatever they're doing to trigger you. Just focusing on awakening this love energy, on being love, and your whole life will transform.
Mm.
It's very simple.
Yes.
And it's very powerful. And many of the listeners may have heard of Dr. Masaru Emoto. I don't know if you have. If you want to Google him, you can look him up. He is a famous Japanese scientist that looked at the impact of words on water. And he froze the water crystals after the impact of saying, "You disgust me." And then he looked at the experiment of the effects of saying loving words to water. And one, there's a perfect crystal where it's love, where it's positivity and happiness. And on the "you disgust me," the whole crystal was deformed. And you can just Google that and you can see that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that there is science behind this. We are energy. So if we are in a state of love energy, we are going to attract that to us. We are going to impact our partner, because the human body is made up of water. And so the more that you share and be kind and be loving to your partner, the more they are going to be loving themselves, and it's going to come back to you. And it's amazing how, with all our gadgets, with all our modern busy life, that we forget that we are energy. We forget that we do have a lot of power to transform our lives.
Absolutely. And with all the modern gadgets, we're also more disconnected than ever as well, ironically. What happened in your relationship, Nicola, for you to discover this?
So, as I mentioned, it was really going quite negative. I was pulling more love out. And I, because there was a huge lack of love in my relationship, because I was, we were both being very negative, I developed a very unhealthy habit of drinking a lot every night to comfort myself, and picked up eating. It was either overeating or over drinking. It was a ritual that I became addicted to, and this just ended up, really sort of ruining the relationship, ruining my mind, and it was a really painful time. And then I couldn't sleep because I had so much on my mind, and my mind was weak because I was drinking every night to comfort myself. Right. And so I had insomnia. So I looked online and I discovered that Paul McKenna, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's a hypnotherapist.
Yes.
So I'm a huge fan of him because of this. This changed my life. I found that he had a really powerful book called I Can Make You Sleep with a sleeping hypnosis track. I recommend it highly. If any of the listeners are having trouble sleeping, it's amazing. I started to listen to that to get some healing for my sleeping, and it started to shift things in me. And in the book it said, why are you so unhappy? It said, you know, why does it matter to you? What's going on in your life and why does it matter to you? And it says, keep asking the question, why does it matter to me? And so I sat there in silence and I thought, my relationship isn't working very well and it's very negative and I'm being very negative. Why does it matter to me? Why does it matter to me? I kept asking myself that question. And after listening and asking that question, I realized the reason that it matters to me is because I'm not a person that's unloving or that's stressed out or that wants to be addicted to these patterns that are hurting me or that wants to feel, this isn't me. The real me is happy, is loving, is carefree, is fun, is caring. And I wasn't being that person in my relationship. I wasn't being that person in my life, in work and everything. And so this major shift, I realized, okay, the hypnotherapy was working great. I thought audios are powerful.
Yes.
I realized that it was shifting small changes in me. And then I realized that the secret was becoming loving. And then that's when I started creating audio programs to awaken the love energy through hypnotherapy, through meditation, and through talking and workshops, audio workshops, to really help people to really connect to that love within to change their life.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. So what tips would you give that someone can start taking immediately to increase love, passion and happiness in their life, but also in relationships? You know, where do they begin? Because, for someone who's had these emotions shut down for a very long time, it can be overwhelming, right? It's not an overnight switch. It takes some time, I imagine. What would you advise are the first steps in order to start increasing it?
Sure, absolutely. So I would say that the first steps is to, that there's a few things. In the relationship, let's take the relationship first. To keep it simple, I would say really focusing on things that create a lot of love and passion and happiness for you. So think back perhaps to the beginning. What did you do at the beginning of the relationship? Often when we start in the beginning of a relationship, we do lots of things to make each other happy. And I like to keep it simple and I like to say focus on the four A's. These are the keys to most relationships. So A number one is affection. So affection can be physical touch, holding hands, cuddles, kissing. This can be really important. Some people like non-physical affection, which is things like I love you messages, emails, anything that shows I care for you. We all need in a relationship care and affection. The second one is attention. So many of us feel insecure, feel overreact, get angry, get resentful because we feel that we aren't being given any attention. And it's very easy to give attention. All it takes is coming home from work, looking at each other in the eyes and asking, how was your day? And really listening with your phone completely gone. That's the thing with the modern relationships today. The phone comes up a lot in the private one-to-one work that I do with couples, where they're finding that being present, giving that attention, is becoming less and less prevalent. It's becoming more and more rare for couples to give each other that attention because they're distracted by Facebook or WhatsApp or, you know, and we all do it, but it's really giving that. So that's attention. The next one is admiration. We all love to be admired.
Absolutely, yes.
And we all like to feel that our partner thinks the best in us, thinks highly of us. It boosts our self-esteem, our self-confidence. And so admiration is also a key way. And then the last one, which is closely linked to admiration, is appreciation.
Yes.
Couples come to me often where one or both feel not appreciated, where their efforts are not valued and not taken into consideration, and they feel resentful for that. Mm-hmm. So keeping it simple, focusing on these four A's, this is a way that you can consistently create a lot of passion and happiness in the relationship.
Absolutely. They're so important, aren't they? I mean, this is what everybody's looking for in their dream relationship, and to feel fulfilled and happy. So can we talk a little bit about why you focus so much on clearing the negativity and resentment in your online programs and coaching?
Sure, absolutely. So hopefully you can tell by now that I am very much a focused, a forward, future-orientated person that helps people. And I definitely believe in positivity. And so focusing on that is really important. And so is clearing the negativity and the resentment. If we only focus on the positive and we don't clear anything, then the negative vibes, the resentment is still going to be there. And negativity and resentment are two relationship silent killers, if you like. And what happens with resentment is resentment builds slowly over time. So often individuals don't realise that they have resentment until it already reaches an alarming level. And by that time, it's been built up slowly and slowly over the years that it just becomes explosive, where a small thing like someone leaving a mug on the side or packing the dishwasher in the wrong way according to someone else, or not calling when they said they were going to call, a small trigger can just really set someone off. And that's often, they're not reacting to that one incident, they're reacting because a lot of things from the past have upset them. And the only way to let go of resentment is to do some clearing on it. And it's an individual process. It's not something your partner can do for you.
Right.
You have to do it for yourself. I've worked with people often, and in the group programs that I do, that will say that they're upset about something that happened 5 years ago on a birthday, or 2 years ago at a Christmas. And if we're still holding on to something that happened 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 months ago, it's hurting us because we're the one that's carrying it. And all studies show that anger is bad for your health. And resentment is a mild form of anger, but because it lasts for longer, it's actually more damaging. So we want to clear resentment, and the good thing is there's lots of really powerful ways that you can clear resentment very quickly. And then negativity. So as humans, we tend to think the same things repetitively. So that we can think positive things repetitively, or we can think negative things repetitively. We all sort of get stuck in habitual ways of thinking. This is how the mind works. And often, when couples are sharing with me that their relationship is struggling, whether it's a new relationship, I know you help singles find love, so whether it's at the beginning phases of their relationship because of past things, or whether, like me, when I'm helping couples with their relationship, they could be telling themselves things like, they're lazy, they don't care about me. They could say things like, this relationship isn't going to work. They're selfish, they're controlling. And if you keep that, if you say that to yourself a number of times, even if it's just in your own head, of course, you're not going to want to cuddle them. You're not going to want to spend time with them. Or if you, or when you are spending time with them, you're going to be half of you there with them and half of you in your head and remembering these negative things you've been telling yourself about them. So you we really need to look at what are you saying to yourself that's impacting your relationship and changing the story and the what you're saying to yourself.
Definitely. Wow, so powerful. You often talk in your program, on your podcast, sorry, about connection before communication. Why does that come first?
That's a really great question, and I'm so pleased that you brought that up. So often couples will come to me and they'll say, we've got a problem with our communication.
Yes.
And they want to go straight to, let's work on the communication. Now, working on communication can be really powerful and really life-changing for many couples. However, often the reason that communication isn't working is because there's a lack of connection. So the first and the most important thing to really focus on straight away is getting back that connection, getting back that love, that passion, because then often communication will just happen. It will just shift, it will just change.
Right, effortlessly, yes.
And sometimes when couples come to me, the reason that their communication is so bad is because they're not even friends, hardly.
Oh, that's scary.
So in order to work on the communication, let's get back that connection. Let's get you being loving towards each other, being friends, being best friends again, being soulmates. Yes. And then, of course, we can improve communication, but without connection, communication is going to be, for most couples, a bit of a struggle, just if that's the main focus. And connection, again, you can use those four A's.
Yes. Perfect. So clear now, it makes sense, complete sense. It's something so commonly overlooked, isn't it, Nicola?
Yeah, it is, and it's a real shame that all of this stuff that I've learned is, we're not taught at school, we should be taught about relationships, we should be,
of course.
You know, we learn about some ridiculous things in our education.
Algebra, who needs it? God, yeah.
And
it's true.
And we don't learn how to keep and maintain loving relationships, how to deal with emotions like negativity and resentment and anger.
Absolutely. I'm a big advocate of us learning this at school.
Yeah.
Very much. Okay, so you mentioned forgiveness. Why is this a key part of having a great relationship, Nicola?
Well, I think forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves. It's freeing ourselves from the past. Unfortunately, no matter what relationship we're in, we tread on each other's toes and we get hurt.
Yes.
And this is an inevitable part of being in any relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a relationship with our parents, our colleagues. And so we have to have a system where we can let this go, where we can free ourselves from that mental thinking, from staying stuck in that pain. I mentioned to you about my addictive patterns. I couldn't forgive myself.
Right.
And
yes.
I was struggling with a lot of self-hate, self-loathing. And so I ended up, to get rid of that voice, to get rid of that pain, acting out in different ways. So
yes.
Once we've got a key way of having, of forgiving and of letting things go, of allowing our partner to be angry or moody, of allowing ourselves to say the wrong thing or sometimes snap when we wish we didn't. It just allowing and forgiving is a way to really opening and awakening that love energy. It's a real key foundation in having that love energy. So that's why I think it's a really key part of being a great relationship. And I've had the privilege of interviewing married couples who have been married for 35 years.
Wow.
And they've shared with me that the secret is forgiving each other.
Wow.
It's not having a problem-free relationship. It's about letting things go.
Right. Right. Can I... I'm hearing some comments that I've heard from my clients in my mind. If you don't mind, can I just ask you, for those who really struggle with forgiveness, what would be one simple way that they can just begin expanding and letting go of things that have really hurt them?
So there's a couple of things. I would say that the first thing is, if you're really stuck and you feel that you can't forgive at the moment, you feel like there's no way what they did to me, then I have the clients I work with, and what worked for me is to saying, I'm willing to begin to forgive.
Right.
I'm willing to begin. So it means you're going to be beginning the process. Another very powerful thing is to say, am I willing to forgive the soul of that person? Not their ego, not their personality, but on a soul-to-soul level.
That's beautiful.
And often people will say, okay, yes, I can forgive their soul.
Wow.
And I say, even though their behaviour is unacceptable by anyone's standard, are you willing to forgive the soul of that person? And also realizing that not forgiving is only hurting you. It makes no difference to them.
Yes, it does. Yes, so true. Absolutely.
And I also help with the distinction that forgiving is not forgetting.
Yes.
And forgiving is not condoning. It's not saying that what they're doing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving is releasing yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, I have, for the listeners, if they would like that, if you would like to put the link, a forgive and let go meditation.
Oh, yes, definitely.
A free MP3 that the listeners can download and listen to. And I've had hundreds of people write into me and say that it's really helped them feel more loving and happy.
Thank you for that. That's perfect. I will definitely add those links. Just moving on to the reasons, the key reasons, the three biggest reasons for marriages breaking up in your experience, because this is something we don't want. I mean, whether someone is officially married or cohabiting with them, you know, a long-term future partner, right? I guess the principle applies to both. But what are those main reasons so that we can be tuned into them and work at avoiding them?
The three main ones that I come across, and again, it's the A's, so I don't, you know, but it is the main ones that come across. The first one is affairs. Infidelity. And whether that's an emotional affair, a physical affair, or these days a cyber internet affair. And the key thing with this is realizing that anyone can have an affair. Given the right circumstances, someone comes along, gives them what they're missing, or gives them that attention, that affection, those four A's, and they go. So the key to protect your relationship from affairs is realizing that if someone comes into your life that could be a bit of a risk, you remove yourself. You say, okay, I'm getting feelings for someone, or I'm becoming close to someone of the opposite sex, what I shouldn't do, so I'm going to distance myself from that person at work. I'm going to distance myself from that person at the gym.
Because
it's protecting your relationship. It's taking action, proactive action to protect your relationship. And if you do,
I love that.
And if you do feel drawn to someone else, use that as information. What am I missing in my current relationship that this new person seems to be showing or wanting to give? And then then use that in your own relationship to have that.
Absolutely. And that takes a lot of integrity, and it sort of links back to someone's moral compass and values as well, doesn't it? And you have to be pretty strong to remove yourself and not allow yourself to be influenced in a situation like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Yeah.
And so affairs. Then addictions. So whether it's something that's very prevalent, like alcohol or food, there's also so many other addictions. Addictions to playing video games, addictions to sex, to porn, to... there's so many these days. And where you're putting a habit, an addiction, before the relationship...
Yes.
And it that's affecting the relationship, then that causes a lot of resentment and a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not being present in the relationship.
Absolutely.
And then the last one is anger.
Mm.
So anger comes up a lot. And there's anger comes up, and it's equal for men and women. So, and this can be angry outbursts. So the where someone just flips out, goes really violent or very shouts a lot, or it can be angry silences where the opposite happens, where someone completely shuts down, shuts off.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that can be similar to depression as well, where where someone's just shut. They don't know what to do, so they shut down in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are so important to be aware of and to have power over, right? Because ultimately we're in control of preventing these things appearing in our future relationships. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, if we're willing to look at ourselves, if we're willing to be honest with ourselves, if we're willing to take action, we can unlearn any behaviours.
You know,
all behaviours, we weren't born with these. We develop them over time. So that means we can unlearn them with the right tools, with the right willingness. We can change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be part of our personality. And that's the amazing thing about it.
Definitely. That's amazing. So just the final question I'd love to ask, Nicola, is what would you say is the biggest concern for married couples and relationships today?
I mean, I'd say the biggest concern is just really our use of technology, our use of the phone.
Yes.
And that's what comes up again and again and again. And and the amount of arguments it causes, the amount of disconnect. Couples coming home, they greet each other from work, and then they're straight back onto their gadgets.
Right.
And it's replacing real relationship. It's replacing that real connection. And so and the reason that I think it's a concern is that people know it, but then they still carry on.
That's it. Exactly. Again, it goes down to sort of making that decision, right? And making that decision not to do it for the sake of your connection and relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So making that decision by saying, for example, for half an hour over dinner, we will not be on our phones from 9 o'clock in the evening. It's a gadget-free zone. In the mornings, we don't look at our phones. It's putting in rules around it.
Yeah.
To protect the relationship. And also to set a great example to any children that are there too. So they learn as well that life doesn't have to be always checking your phone all the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. We see this too much, don't we? We see it. I mean, even young kids already are just so smart on these gadgets. It's unbelievable. Lovely. Wow, I have enjoyed your insights and wisdom so much, Nicola. It's been absolutely brilliant. I could talk to you for hours. I do have one final question, if you don't mind. And I'd love to ask all our guests this question. And that is, with everything that you know now, in hindsight, what advice would you give your young self, your 20-year-old self?
What advice would I give? I would say that the key thing to having a loving relationship is one, the awakening the love energy, but and with that is taking action.
Yes.
It's moving forward. It's complaining about a relationship, being unhappy in a relationship, and sitting in it is just going to send you crazy. So right. It's about taking action. If you're not, if something's not going right, getting some advice, getting some support, changing perfect. Things in the relationship, doing more mm-hmm. than just talking, sharing yes. how you're feeling is not going to save a relationship. It's only through mm-hmm. actions, which is why the way that I work when I work with couples is about actions that they can take that changes the relationship. Because mm-hmm. as I mentioned, the traditional marriage counselling talking, what is that going to do? Just bring up all the past. So getting into action, thinking about actions that you can take. Maybe you want to do a date night together every week. Maybe you right. want to make time to go out more, to do different things inside the home, to find a project together, to mm-hmm. whatever it is, more time for affection, intimacy. It's about actions that you take to enhance your relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Thank you so much, Nicola. I know that you have some wonderful free giveaways for our audience. Would you like to share?
Sure, I'd love to.
Yeah, and where they can find you, of course, to learn more brilliant. About you and your information.
Sure, I'd love to. So for the Forgive and Let Go Hypnotherapy chat, I'm going to provide the link. Can you provide the link to
of
that?
Course, yeah. Of course, yes. So, I'll add all the links.
So that's a meditation hypnotherapy chat. So anytime you're feeling tense in your relationship, anytime you're feeling like you just want to feel light and let the past go, you can just listen to that. That's an MP3. It's around 25 minutes long. It's really relaxing. And then
lovely.
I also have my 60-minute Marriage Secret Masterclass. Now, this masterclass is about how to awaken the love energy. So if you thought, wow, that's really interesting what Nicola's talking about, awakening love energy, then there's a video, a masterclass. It's a video you can watch in your own time. It's around about 60 to 70 minutes long, and it teaches you what else you can do to really awaken that love energy and really transform your relationship and your whole life. So yeah, so they can do that, and then you can find me at nicolabeer.com.
That's
and beer is spelt like the drink, B-E-E-R.
Yeah, easy to remember. Thank you so much, Nicola, for being with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. We've learned so much, and I know our audience will really appreciate your insights, your wisdom, and your tips there. So thank you again, Nicola.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Love Show with Nicola Beer. We are delighted to be connecting with you in this way. Our mission is to spread more love in the world and for everyone to live a passionate, happy, and love-filled life. If you haven't already watched the Empowered Love Formula Masterclass or booked a free Empowered Love Strategy session, you can sign up for free using the link listed alongside this episode or reach Nicola Beer at www.nicolabeer.com.